Well, today is, I think, day three or third day of a series on the story of redemption. We've spoken about the story of Moses, and we've spoken about the story of Ruth. That's what we're talking about. And today we're going to just touch on Jesus the Redeemer, and we're going to kind of read from this passage in Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, and reading from verse 4 to verse 7. We're going to read it in the Message, and so it may be that you can follow along in your Bibles if you've got them with you, but I'll read it to you so that you can see them. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us as a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you're now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, "Papa, Father." Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you're not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. We're talking about the story of Jesus. And I suppose I want to just start by asking the question, what is redemption all about? If we're talking about Jesus the Redeemer, what is redemption all about? Well, redemption is about things that are messed up and broken being fixed. They're actually about Jesus coming amongst us to sort out the stuff that actually only he can sort out, the things that only he can do. And so a redeemer is someone who comes in to buy things back, to redeem them, to take them back from the mess that they were in and actually bring them back into the place that they were at and put them back to how they should be. And I was thinking this week about a modern story about something that's broken, it's a mess, and yet it needs to be bought back so that it can be put right again. What could it be? Yes, the story of Rangers Football Club seemed to me to be a very apposite story to tell us a story, to help us to understand what redemption is all about. Because here's a story of something that was broken, that is, no, you're not getting this, right? And how things aren't good, and people who have done bad things, and others who might come and save us and redeem us, and others who really are the saviour. And no, okay. Not going to go there. It's an interesting thing to think about, because I was trying to kind of think about what does it actually mean for us that Jesus is our Redeemer? What does it mean for us that actually he has come to sort out the stuff, the mess that actually only he could do? And so I was just trying to think through that. And what I came up with was this, that actually there's really kind of two parts, I think, to the kind of the whole thing of Jesus as Redeemer. The first one is this, that actually it is the redemption of us. It's the eternal stuff. It's actually that we were sinners lost in our sins, aliens to God, enemies of God, who without any hope of being put right with him. And Jesus came and he redeemed us. He paid the price for us to be brought back into not just, and this is the great thing, not just a neutral place of being okay with God, but what Galatians talks about, which is that actually we were made sons and daughters of the King again. You know, we are no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer caught up in all of that stuff. Because actually what Jesus has done on the cross is he has gone and he has paid the price. He paid the price for our sin. He paid the price so that we would no longer be held accountable for these sins by God the Father. That when he looks upon us, he looks upon us as those who are righteous. I heard something this week as I was listening to a sermon, and the guy just said, "Do you understand that before God, you are as righteous as Jesus?" I'm as right when you know I'm as righteous before God as Jesus. When he looks at me, when he looks at you, when God the Father looks at us, he looks at us and he see, and there is nothing in us that he sees as sin, as broken, as tarnished, as messed up, because he sees us as righteous as Jesus. He actually looks at us and he sort of says, what I see, what I hold, you know, in terms of who Jesus is, what he's done, you know, that same righteousness, that being right with God, I attribute that to you. I give it to you. That's what grace is. That actually God would give something which actually, you know, only he can give, which was his amazing love, you know, and he gives it to us, and that transforms our life. So when Jesus comes as our Redeemer, he does come and he does deal with the things of eternity. And praise God for that. You know, when we die, you know, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be confident of this, that he will take us to be with him. And that is, that's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. And I suppose because of the fact that traveling actually kind of helps just to get a bit of perspective on that. Because again, when you're here, you know, death and sickness is isolated from us. You know, it's put aside and we don't see it very much and we don't sort of experience very much of it. But in Africa, it's right there. I remember going to Malawi and I remember traveling through Bangula and just being absolutely overwhelmed that most of the shops at the side of the roads were actually shops selling coffins. You know, big, big, big chunks of the road were just carpenters who made coffins. And I just thought, flip. You know, death is a real, tangible, obvious thing there. Kids die all the time. Young people die all the time. Average life expectancy in Mozambique is still 38. You know, I'm over 38. I'd be gone by now. You know, that's the life expectancy because of all of these things that we've talked about before. And I think that sometimes we, you know, because of the fact that, you know, death and the sickness in some ways has almost been put off and put off and put off and put away from us, we actually forget. You know, we forget that actually this is an incredible thing, that we can be confident that our life after death is with Jesus, because we've been redeemed, because we've been bought back. And so Jesus, the Redeemer, who has dealt with the things of eternity. But the other thing that I was thinking about this week as I was thinking about it was this, that actually, what does Jesus redeem? I believe that he redeems our past, our present, and our future. Okay? So in other words, when Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness, in other words, yes, you're going to have life eternal. Yes, when you die, you're going to be with God. What he said was, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. That means he has come to help us to sort out the mess and the brokenness of our life now, that we would be able to enter into the fullness of life as we live it. So when we talk about Jesus as Redeemer, we're talking about him redeeming, and this is the interesting thing, not just our present, but Jesus redeems our past, and Jesus even redeems our future. Let me explain what that means. Jesus redeems our past. Jesus reaches back into our history, and he rewrites it. And so I remember, I've told this story before in church, but as I was thinking about it, I thought this is the best example I've got of this. This passage that we have from Joel that everyone, you may know. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. It's that thing of, I will restore the years the locust has eaten. I will actually deal with the things which you look back on and you think, oh man, all those years ago, all those things that ever happened to me, all of that stuff is actually lost and gone now. And we think, that was just a mess. That was just, you know, my past. It was broken. It was messy. It was horrible. And, you know, and I regret it. When God spoke this verse to me in particular, he spoke it to me at a point where I had recognized that I had failed substantially in my first degree. I had started a Master of Arts degree, got as far as I think the end of 3 years of it, but failed, kept failing exams. And I had got into my divinity degree because I was already selected as a Church of Scotland minister. So I basically abandoned the carnage that was my first attempt at a degree and slipped quietly into divinity, hoping that nobody would notice. And over the years, actually, the reality was this. My feeling was I completely messed up. That was an embarrassment to me. That was something that I really regretted those years where I didn't finish and I didn't complete and I should have done all of those things. And actually, I really felt, not only that, but actually even when I went into divinity, I just scraped through divinity with the very... I think actually they knew I was going to be a Church of Scotland minister and it was like, let's just get rid of him, you know. Okay, let him pass because we don't want him here another year, sort of thing. And actually, I look back on that and I feel humiliated. I don't feel it now, but I felt humiliated by it. I felt that actually it was just a mess. I look back and I think, oh, you know, I so regretted it. And then I was being prayed for, and this verse very clearly came into my heart and into my head. God speaking to me and saying, I have come to restore the years the locust has eaten. And that is a story of how God wants to restore, redeem, put right, sort out the mess of my past. Now, in one sense, I was being prayed for, and I remember thinking, you know, I remember thinking as I heard that, you know, as I thought about that verse in my head, I just thought, this is actually God trying to kind of heal my emotional wounds. You know, he's actually kind of making me feel so I don't feel embarrassed, I don't feel disappointed, I don't feel... And actually, that was exactly what happened. I remember as I stood up from being prayed for at that point, I remember feeling that sense of just of lightness, of just knowing, actually, God's washed this stuff away. He's dealt with that. I don't need to feel shame or guilt or any of those things anymore because actually he's spoken to me about that. And he's saying, listen, son, it's okay. I'm going to restore these years. I'm going to, and you don't need to worry about them anymore. But listen, this is the important thing. Actually, what then happened was this. He then put into practice, put into train a whole series of experiences, both in terms of people coming and teaching in our church and visiting me in my house and me being able to go and do a master's degree actually subsequent to that. And as a result of all of that, what happened was this. I feel that I actually had the restoration was not just the emotional sort of stuff of it's okay, you can let it go. But actually what God was saying was, listen, see those years that you worked at but never got anything out of? I am now going to give you something. I'm going to restore those years to you and I'm going to do something even better. And I just want to speak to those of us who feel that actually our past is littered with the carnage of mess. And we think it's just there. It's just there. It's just the way it has to be. That's what's going to happen. I'm just going to have to live with that. And there is an element that we do need to live with the consequences of our decisions. We do need to do that. There's no question about that. But this is what God says to us. I am the one that restores the years that the locust has eaten. I am the one that's able to go back in time. I'm able to deal with your past in a way that you don't even know how I could do. And so I want to say to those of you, those of us, let's be honest, almost everybody pretty much will be in this category. Those of us who look back and think, oh, what a mess I made. What carnage there was there. And I just had to leave it behind because it was a mess. God is able to restore the years the locust has eaten. God is able to redeem your past. And that is a word of hope for many of us today. Because actually, because let's be honest, we have quite a lot of mess in our past. And many of us feel, you know, that we just don't know what to do with that, don't know how to deal with that. Now God will come and do different things. Because actually he knows exactly the circumstances of our heart and exactly what's going on with us. And so for each one of us, he'll do different things. But today, as we hear the word of God, that Jesus is our Redeemer, who restores the past, redeems the past, sorts out the messes, have faith that actually he can do that for you. And I don't know what that'll look like. Like I didn't, as I say, when he spoke the word to me that day, that the passage from Joel, I did not know that what was going to happen was he was actually going to put everything back in and build something that was even better. And I didn't know what it would look like at that. I didn't even know it was going to happen. But here's the promise of God. He is the Redeemer. He is the Restorer. He is able to bring the mess of the past and actually sort it out because he has paid the price. Now, isn't that good news? There's more. The present. Jesus is with us, sorting out the mess of our lives today. His actions are characterized by mercy, by goodness, and by kindness. And what I want to say about that is this, that actually, my experience of God is that he is so, so willing to help us to deal with the things that we look at and we think, you know, that was me. I did that. I caused that mess. And we judge ourselves and we judge ourselves with harsh measure. We judge ourselves perhaps with the measures of others as well. And we can't understand. But this is what God is like. Merciful. He doesn't judge us and condemn us in the way that we do. He speaks mercy over our life. He says, listen, I know the mess that's been made, but you know, my love for you is such that I gave Jesus so that the mess that has been made could actually be turned around. He doesn't speak cruel, harsh judgment over us, even if we speak it over ourselves. God's dealing with us today is in mercy. That's one of the major things that he does. But more than that, it's goodness. God is good. God is good, his character is good, and his desire is to do good in your life. As Bill Johnson would say, you know, God is good and he's in a good mood today, you know. He's in a good mood. And actually, for us, he is in a good mood in our lives. And again, where we speak condemnation over ourselves, because we have all of these mental tapes that just play in our heads that have been put there from the very earliest days in our life, God actually comes in and says something different. He says, I'm looking for things that I could do that would be good in your life. I'm looking for ways that would actually, where you will look at and you think, how can you do that? How can you be so generous? How can you be so willing to bless? Because I did do these things. I got these things wrong. It's my fault. And God is able to actually say, I see that. He's not blind to these things, but he decides to show mercy and he decides to say, what could I do that would actually show goodness in your life? And kindness. You know, he's so kind to us. He's not harsh. You know, and again, where we've come through the church, and perhaps we've heard that you know somehow that actually that God is one is angry and he wants to kind of punish us and so on. What the scriptures teach is this: yes, God does discipline his sons and daughters. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 12. He does. There's no question. But it's not. It's not in harshness. It's not out of that brutal kind of desire to punish us because he wants to show us, you know, who's boss. He does it, it says in Hebrews 12, because a father loves his children enough to discipline them. And actually, it is a mark of his love for us that he disciplines us. But he doesn't do it harshly. God always acts with such kindness to us. And I think that again we just need to receive that. So this is part of my testimony too, you know, that actually for years and years and years, many of you, again, we've spoken about this, you know, we've had financial difficulties which have led to debt. And again, we know that we need to play our part in that. But over the years we have seen the faithfulness of God in this. You know, we've had amazing provision. We've had all sorts of things that have helped us. God continues to look to redeem the messes in our life. That's true for me, and I believe it's true for you too. So as we think about this, as we think not just about the past, but we think about the present, what are the things that are in you, that are in your life just now? What are the mountains? What are the things that you look at and you just think, I just don't know how to go over that? It's just like it's a barrier that I can't overcome. And God wants to speak to that and say, a word from the Lord will flatten the mountain. What are the things that are the valleys, the things that you just feel, you know, they're beyond me. I just can't get them to work at all. And actually, you know, and again, God is saying, with a word, I can raise up the valley so that you can walk. You can have things. So what are the things that, that look like they're a mess today? What are the things that you just feel, I don't know how to deal with that? God is speaking to us about that today. God is speaking to us about the things that we're currently going through that he is able to do. But here's the last thing. Jesus redeems our future. The future, my future, is no longer a rerunning of my past. My future is no longer a rerunning of my past. Why? Because Jesus breaks in and changes the future. Many of us live in this way that actually what happens is that we almost live in these cycles. We just kind of think, you know, this happens to me, this is how my life is, and it's just going to be like that. And what Jesus does is this. Because he isn't limited by time, he can come into our past, our present, our future. He looks into our future and he says, that is not my desire for you. My desire for you is that you would have life in all its fullness. My desire is not that you would have mess in your future, that you would live with brokenness in your future. Why? Because he is our redeemer. Redeemers come to sort out the mess and to put together things that are broken. And so as we look to our future, we should not look at our future and sort of say, it's just going to be a continual rerunning of the same patterns. We need to know that Jesus, who is the Redeemer, has gone ahead of us. And how has he done that? And how do we know about that? He does it by this. That is why the word of prophecy, which foretells what is coming, is so important for us. Because actually what it does it's almost like we have a pathway that we're walking down, and Jesus sees where it's going to go into things which are perhaps not great, maybe just a continuation of the same stuff, which we just feel, you know, please, is my life always just about this? And God says, no. And then he says, here is a new pathway for you to walk on. And that pathway is often, for many of us, is it comes about by reading the word and understanding the word, and often by people prophesying. And a few years ago now, 2008, I got a prophecy that was given to me, which actually is an example of this for me. A lady who's going to come and speak at the mission school next year, actually, Stacey Campbell, prophesied. And she said a whole lot of things about Scotland and about leading in Scotland and stuff. At which point, I have to say, I was sitting there going, aye, right. You know, I was just sitting going, aye, whatever. You know, talking about, you have, you know, an anointing like John Knox. Aye, right. And you'll, you know, and I said all sorts of things. And then she said a thing which actually really struck me. She said, the way in which God is going to use you is you're going to be like a domino. You're going to be the first domino of a domino run. And I got that then. So the first domino in a domino run is like the last domino or the middle domino. We're just the same. Because actually for me, there's something about, you know, there's something about sort of saying yes. You know, I know that I have no desire to be anything other than, you know, just the person that God's called me to be. But I can be the first one that falls over. I can be the first one that says yes. If that's what leading looks like, then I'm willing to do that. And if that means that it's going to touch the nation, then I'm willing to do that as well. And actually what happened as a result of that prophecy was this, that very clearly opened a new pathway for me. And again, I want to just sort of say to you, are you looking at your future and thinking, oh man, this is just same as. I can see all of the same mess that I'm living with at the moment, or I have been living with. But actually, you know, is it just going to keep playing out? And God wants to say to you, I've come as the redeemer of your future. I've come to give you hope for your future. I've already worked a way at sorting out the mess and the brokenness of the future so that it's no longer there. And the path that you thought that you were on, I'm actually bringing across here. I'm going to give you a new path to walk on that doesn't involve all of the same stuff. So Jesus is our Redeemer. He sends us to heaven. You know, when we put our trust in him, we're there for eternity. He's made that possible. But he has also made it possible for us to experience fullness of life now, which deals with the past, which speaks to our present, and which creates a new pathway into our future. What does it mean that Jesus redeems? It means that he sorts out the mess and brokenness. Past, present, future. That sounds good to me. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful as we think on these things, as we ponder these things. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful because you sent Jesus so that we wouldn't be lost anymore. We wouldn't be lost in sin. We wouldn't be enemies anymore. You redeemed us. You bought us back. You saved us. And we're going to be with you for all eternity, living in glorious fellowship. We are going to be in heaven with you. And it's all because of Jesus. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. But it seems incredible that even that isn't enough for you. It's incredible that even that, Lord, isn't all that you want to do for us. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the redeemer of our past. You are the redeemer of our present. And you are the redeemer of our future. And Lord, I thank you that today, each one of us will have heard something from you by your Holy Spirit about what it is that you want to redeem today. And so we're just going to be quiet before the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to our hearts, and we're going to hear from him directly. And even now, some of you here, you know what it is. And I want to pray particularly for those of us who are struggling just now with unbelief. Because actually we are hearing very clearly from the Spirit, it's this area. And immediately a spirit of unbelief just wants to land on us and say, no, that's never going to change. And so we bind that spirit of unbelief and we remove it now and we cast it out in Jesus' name. Send it to Jesus, because that is not what Jesus wants to do. He does want us to be redeemed in every aspect. So once again, Holy Spirit, would you just speak to us? What is it that you want to redeem in our lives today? Yeah. And so, Lord God, each and every one of us, we recognize, Lord, it's incredible that you would do this. It's incredible that you would speak to us about these things. Some of us hearing again that word, you know, I will restore the years the locust has eaten. Nothing is too difficult for God. Some of us recognizing the mountains, the valleys that are in front of us, and again, your word says, you know, I will raise up the valleys, I will pull down the mountains and create a highway of holiness that you would walk on. And to the present, to the mess of things that are in front of us, that we just are living with. Lord, we just ask that you would speak your word of hope and of faith, that you are the Redeemer who sorts stuff that's broken, the mess that only you can sort out. Just thank you for that. And so in our hearts, we if you can imagine just taking these things onto your hands and you lay them before the Lord, if you can do that, if that helps you, just to put your hands out and to sort of say, you know, Lord, this thing that you've talked to me about, I'm putting in front of you now. I'm laying it before you. And Jesus is going to deal with this now. Jesus is going to deal with this thing that you've got, that you're offering to him. So Lord Jesus, we offer you these parts of our life that only you can deal with. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would do what only you can do. We don't know how this is going to get sorted, but you do. So we lay it before you, Lord, and ask for you, Lord Jesus, to do what you can do. You are the one that redeems. So come, Jesus, our Redeemer, and redeem these parts of our lives that we thought were broken forever. But today, you've given us hope that they will be made whole again. For we ask this now, in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.